I'm kind of curious how you would approach today, for example, a patient with a known BRCA germline mutation of locally advanced triple negative disease. Would you be more likely to use a platinum? Would you even think about a PARP inhibitor?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there's, you know, over the last several years, there's been a lot of data trying to really give us an answer for what is the role of platinum in early stage triple negative breast cancer. We had a couple of the early randomized phase two, the German breast group Gepar-60 trial, and then the CALGB 40603. They both showed an improvement in pathologic complete response rate with carboplatin, somewhere in and around the 15% range. They weren't powered for long-term outcomes, but with Gepar-60, they did show an improvement of about 10% in event-free survival at 3 years. That was not observed in the CALGB study. So there was a lot of question around there. We then, you know, this past year had published a really important trial, which was Brightness. This was a phase three neoadjuvant trial, and it looked at three different arms for early stage triple negative breast cancer: paclitaxel with carboplatin and with the PARP inhibitor veliparib. That was the first arm. Paclitaxel, carboplatin, and then the third arm was paclitaxel alone. Patients all received AC prior to their surgery. And what the Brightness study showed, it was really negative for the primary endpoint. Veliparib carboplatin did not improve the PCR rate significantly compared to paclitaxel carboplatin. But it was a really strong study to support platinum because in both of the platinum-containing arms, the PCR rates were greater than 20% increased for those patients who received platinum. So we are still waiting for the long-term event-free survival data. There is a big adjuvant study ongoing, again, through NRG. That's NRG BR003, looking at standard taxane AC with or without carboplatin. That continues to enroll slowly, but continues to enroll. And so at this point in time, we don't yet know who are the patients that should get carboplatin. Certainly, it adds to toxicity, particularly hematologic toxicities. There is less ability to maintain dose schedule and intensity, dose reductions, dose delays, things like that. And so it's been a complicated area. I think for me, my practice currently is that I typically start with AC and I assess how the patient, you know, after their four cycles of AC, what kind of clinical response they've had. And if I feel that there is certainly residual tumor there at that point in time, I add carboplatin to the paclitaxel. There are some groups that are giving, you know, carboplatin to all patients, but I think that, you know, it's a question, who are the patients? There are plenty of patients who are going to do well with standard therapy. Who are the patients that we need to escalate the therapy in? And, you know, should we be doing it across the board? Should we be doing it selectively? So I think, you know, talking to a lot of peers, I think a lot of us are sort of giving AC, assessing where the patient is in terms of tumor response, and then making a decision at that point whether to add platinum or not.
But again, are you talking about people with BRCA germline also?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to get into. So I think initially we all thought that, yes, you know, the addition of platinum was definitely going to benefit the BRCA carriers the most. But the data just didn't turn out to be to show that. So, you know, it was first reported in the Gepar-60 trial because they did do BRCA testing on all the patients in that trial. And they found that if you looked at the BRCA mutation carriers, that group specifically, the patients who just had the anthracycline, taxane, backbone chemotherapy with bevacizumab compared to paclitaxel, anthracycline, and carboplatin with the bevacizumab, that there was really no improvement with platinum in the BRCA mutation positive subset. It was all in the BRCA negative, which was really very interesting. And then that was further corroborated in Brightness. So Brightness was a larger phase three trial. All patients had to have germline BRCA mutation testing up front. The randomization was stratified on that basis. And so there was a modest improvement in pathologic complete response rate in the BRCA carriers with platinum, but it was not significant. And so it really appears at this time that, which is very interesting, that the patients getting the most benefit from platinum in the neoadjuvant neoadjuvant setting are the BRCA negative patients.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
So getting back to your patient, when she presented 18 months later, can you talk about what was found in terms of her workup, particularly her PD-L1 assay?
Yeah, so she had just came in for a routine visit, had a very palpable left supraclavicular lymph node, and so this led to systemic restaging. She had a CT PET, and this unfortunately revealed metastasis, nodal. She had bone metastasis. She had lung metastasis at the time. So she did go ahead and have a biopsy of one of the lymph nodes. She had a contralateral supraclavicular lymph node as well that was biopsied. Again, it was triple negative breast cancer confirmed, and she was PD-L1 positive using, again, the Ventana SP142 antibody assay, and it was positive at 1%.
And again, just from the point of view of PD-L1, theoretically, for you, 1% is kind of the same as 5%?
Yeah. So, I mean, in the study, that was the cutoff used, 1% in the immune cell compartment. And the majority of the patients, like we talked about earlier, fell into the 1% to 4% range.
Right.